You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
I had a bad dream. Yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had dreamt that the Dodgers were eliminated from the playoffs, and I found out it was true. And so here's what I'm saying. You guys did not pray enough. I'm sorry. You did not pray enough. But this week has been a week of a little mourning for me, and I think we're all okay. You know, my wife, she's so upbeat. You know what she says? We'll get them next year. I'm thinking, oh, man. So just keep praying for us and our mental health, our emotional well-being. We really do appreciate that. So today we're going to do a few things. I want to welcome you. It's really good to be together. Our ladies are at their women's retreat. They're going to be coming back this afternoon. If you think about it, be praying for their safe return. I know that a lot of good things have happened. They're going to come back and I think share those things with us. But if we can do anything today, we can pray for them. So we've been in a series about family, and this morning the message is titled Lessons from a Father. So this is what I want you to do. All the dads and granddads in this place, just take a deep breath, because today this isn't about beating anybody up. This is actually about encouraging. It's about encouraging one another in our relationship with our Heavenly Father and the relationship we have with our children. And as Mark said earlier, there might be some of you here that didn't have a good relationship with a father or didn't even have a father. Well, we know this. Our good Father, our Heavenly Father, takes care of us. And so what we're going to do is we're going to dive into that. It's called Lessons from a Father. And now all the dads, you just need to, hey, do this with me. Just go, all right? Oh, good. That sounded all right, you know. You know what we do? We need dads. We really need our dads, especially today. Dad, you've been uniquely equipped to bring health and stability to our communities. And so today, I want to share with our fathers a few thoughts more from the heart of a dad than really the heart of a pastor. Because when I look at our fathers and our grandfathers today, I recognize I'm a sojourner as well. And you never stop learning about what it means to be a father or a grandfather. And the reason that's true is because your kids keep teaching you something every single day. Your kids and your grandkids keep teaching you things about Jesus. They teach you things about yourself. They teach you things about life. I don't know where I'd be without my kids and my grandkids. I think that the lessons they've taught me have been pretty amazing. Dads, you know what's interesting is that we bear the same title most often used of God, and the title is Father. You know, let that sink in just for a minute. And of course, with the title, we're invited to emulate the same qualities as our Father in heaven, which isn't an easy thing to do. And the greatest of these qualities is really love. That we have the ability, God has given us the ability through His Holy Spirit to love those around us. I know when we think about fatherhood, this is the thing that I think about most, even in a difficult world, in a hard situation or difficult circumstances. I'm asking myself, is love coming out? Am I loving those that are around me? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this. He says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." And the other quality I think about when I think about fathers is I think about provision. Not just physical provision, not just food on the table, but spiritual provision and covering that our fathers can bring to our homes and to our communities. And I think Jesus spoke to this very well in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. It says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are?" What Jesus is communicating to all of us is that you are valued and that our heavenly Father takes care of us. And the sad reality is that God has been portrayed with the opposite characteristics. Instead of love, judgment and vengeance. Instead of generosity or generously providing someone who holds back the things that we need. That is not the nature of God. The nature of God is to love and to bring abundance to your life and blessing to your life, to restore what's broken, to heal what needs to be healed in our lives. This is our Heavenly Father. And I'm so thankful that I get an opportunity every day to just continue to lean into Him. And I want you to remember one thing today, that your Heavenly Father does not beat you up. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? When my sons were little, we would go into their bedroom, Annette and I would, and we would have them pray. My oldest son would always be the first. He would jump in, very wordy guy, good with his words. He'd just start praying. Ronnie, do you want to pray? Yeah. And he would pray these like evangelistic prayers. I thought angels were going to show up in the room. He'd just pray and pray. And then I'd go to my second child, Ryan, my son. I said, Ryan, you want to pray? And almost every time he'd go, he wouldn't even verbally respond. He would just shake his head, no. One evening, we're doing the same thing, same routine. Ronnie, do you want to pray? Yes. And he prays. And then, Ryan, do you want to pray? And Ryan shook his head, yes. Well, imagine what we felt like as parents. I mean, we're leaning in because we're going to listen to this. We've never heard him pray really out loud. And the prayer that he prayed has been my prayer for years now. He prayed this. He closed his eyes and he said, thank God he don't beat we up. Say that. Thank God he don't beat we up. He got his we's and I's mixed up. So just deal with that for a little bit. But that's what he would do. He prayed that way, and I'm so thankful that God doesn't beat us up. Just the name Father implies a responsibility to children, that there's a relationship. Training our children in the ways of the Lord, providing wisdom and truth as they navigate the world that they're part of. To come alongside, giving perspective in life's most difficult circumstances. I can't share this or talk about this without talking about my father and my grandfathers. They were those that came alongside at critical moments in my life. I remember at times when I was just totally frustrated, whether it was in a job or in family, whatever it was, they were the first that I would go to. And I'm thanking the Lord even today that they gave me that kind of counsel, wise counsel. My grandfathers are gone today. But I remember one time I was so upset at work, I didn't know what to do, I was frustrated, and the first person I called was my grandfather, and I said, Grandpa, you know what I feel like doing right now? I feel like just throwing my chair out the window, I'm so mad right now. And he was quiet, he didn't say much. When I was done ranting, he said, yeah, you could do that, but who's going to clean up the mess? And I thought, there's the biggest lesson I can learn today. I have to watch what I do because someone's got to clean up the mess. Someone's got to clean up the mess that I make or you make, and usually it's us. So my grandfather taught me a lesson. Don't do things when you know you're going to make a mess. Make sure that you follow Jesus Christ. Make sure you're true to Him. Listen, I'm not sure how many of us think about fatherhood in the way that we think of it in a positive way, but here are a few lessons that I've learned along the way. Number one, and this is really simple and straightforward today. Number one, being a father is a choice. Now, think about that just for a moment. Being a father is a choice. Now, I'm not sure many of us have thought about fatherhood as a choice, but it really is. And it follows the example of our Heavenly Father. I want you to listen to what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 say. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His good pleasure and His good will. You know, there's something amazing and compassionate about a God choosing us as His children. I mean, everyone in here today who's come to faith in Jesus Christ, you've been chosen by your Father in heaven. That should lift you up. That should communicate value. That should communicate a love, a beauty about who His children are. He is the one who chose us. John 15, 16, and 17 say, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. This is my command, love each other. Listen, God could have sent us away. I mean, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I used to be afar off from God and even an enemy of faith. And what does God do? He draws close to me and he chooses me. You know what it's like? You know that feeling of being chosen? I just want you to think about that for a moment. Remember the times that maybe someone picked you, someone chose you. It might have been in a game on the playground. It might have been in a classroom. It might have been a promotion at work. Whatever that would be for you, there's that moment, those highlights, that usually it's about someone choosing us. Someone picking us out of a crowd and saying, I want you. That's exactly what God has done to you. It's exactly what God has done for you. He's looked at you and he said, I want you. I'm choosing you. When Annette was pregnant with our first child, I just watched, you know. I just kind of did all that I could to help, and she got a 9-month head start on motherhood. You know, she had a baby. She was having a baby, and here I am as a dad. I'm trying to sort things out. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to make a living. And then when that baby was born, I looked at that child and I thought, oh my goodness. And you've all done this if you've had children, especially that first one. You said, where in the world is the owner's manual? I have no idea what to do here. But Annette was already connected to that child. She already had a head start. And I just remember looking at that little boy and saying to myself, I have to be his father. I choose to be his father. Dads, every day, that's a choice we make. It's not just when we see them for the first time, but every day there's a choice that fathers have to make to be a father. It is a choice that says, I'm going to be a dad. See, how I answer that question of whether I'm going to be a father or not, it sets in motion a whole lifestyle called fatherhood. I want to make a decision every day. I remember coming home from work. My kids were at home. I was coming home from work. And immediately when I got in the car, I started focusing. And dads, this might be good for you. I started focusing on being a father, making a choice to be a father. Because prior to that, I was wearing a hat called employer. I was wearing a hat called teacher. I was wearing a hat called plumber. I was wearing a hat. I was wearing a different hat, a work hat. What happens often is, dads, we don't take that hat off and transition to the father hat. I mean, one of the things that my kids said about me when they got older, in fact, I took each one of them out to lunch separately, and this wasn't that long ago, and I just asked them a question, and dads, this is one of the hardest questions you can ask your kids. I just asked them, son, daughter, where did I hurt you? Where did I go wrong? Where was their brokenness in the relationship? Wow. And they all sat there at different times. They were very kind to me. They were very generous to me. But what came out in all three of them was there were times where I got home and I forgot to take off the hat, the work hat. I was still thinking about work. I was still thinking about strategies. I was still thinking about systems. I was still thinking about people at work, and they noticed that. Listen, our kids know that. They know when you dads go home what hat you're wearing. And so, guys, from my mistakes, let me encourage you, put on the father hat before you walk through the front door. Make a choice to be a dad when you spend time with your kids. Listen, God made a decision to be our father. He made a decision to care for us. And being a father is a choice. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Being a father is a choice we make. Number two is this. Here's something else I think is important. A father's instruction is more watched than verbally taught. It's so true. I mean, dads, you know the feeling of someone or someone's watching you, because there are someone's watching you, their little eyes just staring at almost your every move. I remember when that became so clear to me, going into a grocery store and these guys were following me, and I ran into a little conflict there, and I just started to walk through it with the checker, and they're just looking at me like this. Is he going to be kind? What's he going to do? How's he going to live through this? How's he going to manage this? Listen, I think more things are caught than taught when it comes to fatherhood. That our kids are actually looking more, and you know this, looking more at our action than they are really looking at our words. How many like to be lectured? Do you like to be lectured? No. Somehow that happens. When we were a kid, we didn't like it, but somehow when we get to be fathers, we think it's okay now, you know? I mean, there is instruction that we give. Certainly, we want to give good instruction. But to lecture is not the most positive way to encourage our kids. They are watching our lives. They're paying attention. Children want to know how you respond to the world and people around you. I asked my oldest son not too long ago, who's become very successful in business. He's just been a successful guy. And I asked him, I said, son, what's your leadership mantra? What's the phrase that you use? What's the thing that you think about all the time when you're leading? Because you have to have a target. And he said, Dad, it's one word and one word only. It's kindness. And I thought, wow, boy, I did a good job raising him, didn't I? He said, everyone deserves kindness. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're mad at you. Doesn't matter if they're kind to you. Everyone deserves kindness, and I thought that is really a good way to live. Our kids are watching us. I have a lot of spiritual kids. It's fun to be able to see that unfold in my own life. I had a young man on, it was last Wednesday when we were all at the district conference, and he came running up to me. He's probably in his late 20s. And he said, Pastor Ron, I just wanted to touch bases with you. I haven't seen you in about 10 years. And I said, where have you been? He said, I'm a youth pastor now in a Four Square church. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, you baptized me when I was 12 years old. I grew up in your church. I grew up at Canby Four Square Church. And just to be able to look around and know that we're not just biologically related to our children, but there are other children, spiritual children that are out there that are watching us as well. Believe me, they're watching the church today. And dads, fathers, you set the tempo of what that looks like. You can be the face of what a godly place, a godly church, a godly home really looks like. Matthew chapter 4, verses 21 and 22 say this, and I love this story. I love this. Going from there, Jesus saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. One of the things that we talk about around this place when we're talking about making disciples who make disciples for Jesus is we talk about the Zebedee effect. You see, in the New Testament or any place in the Bible, when a name is mentioned, especially the Father, it signified prominence, especially in the book of Matthew, which was written to the Jewish community. And so if you use somebody's name, a father's name, that typically meant that he contributed a great deal to that particular community, that he was a businessman, and we see that he was. He was a fisherman, but he had a few boats, he had a few employees, people worked for him. He probably committed himself to serve in the synagogue. He was one of those guys. He was a Zebedee. That's the Zebedee effect. Because his boys, the sons of thunder, they looked and they noticed that their father was doing something. They watched their father serve in community. They watched their father run a business. See, Zebedee was a father who spent time with his boys. They watched him in home. They watched how he did business. They watched him in community. So Zebedee's guide for raising the boys, and it was the Jewish fathers that used this as a guide to raise their children. It's the Shema. It's out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. So this would be something they would say every day when they woke up, every day before they went to bed. And it says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. You see, Zebedee was that kind of father. Zebedee was an example to his sons. And if you follow the trajectory of his sons, they became great apostles in the body of Christ. They really did. They paved a way for you and me. This is remarkable. When I look at this, I'm thinking, wow, what a dad. What a guy. And notice how quickly the transaction took place. It says Jesus came along, and they just immediately, notice that word, immediately, they immediately left their father and their boats, and they followed Jesus. You see, only a prepared father and a father who prepares his sons and daughters to follow Jesus respond that quickly. You see, there was no debate. There was no hesitation. I'm thinking that Zebedee might not even have spoken a lot of words. He had already been telling his sons that the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is here. And so when Jesus shows up, can you imagine that eye contact between his sons, James and John? And maybe he just nodded his head and said, there he is. And it says, and immediately those boys followed Jesus. Listen, we can raise kids, we can have family that immediately say, this is the right thing to do. It is to follow Jesus Christ. Fathers, you influence that process. I watch my dad and I watch my grandfathers, my dad's kindness. If you've ever run into my dad, he'll meet you in the store. Thriftway is his church. He stands in the lobby, he talks, he's 88 years old, and I walk in and I'll hear someone say, man, your dad was just here. And I said, so how long was he here? Like a couple hours? And they say, yeah, he just stands right over there. He just greets people and talks. And if you've ever run into my dad, he's just one of the kindest guys on the planet. Can I tell you what that taught me? It taught me that there's room for everyone in my life. People who are different than I am, whose personalities may differ. Whose ethnicities may differ, whose cultures may differ. I saw no distinguishing between cultures and ethnicities and personalities with my dad. My dad was even. He was kind. He was kind to everyone. And he would always say this. He would always say, you need other people, different people in your life, because that's what makes you whole. If you're only surrounded by people like you, it's pretty boring, you know? Y'all just agree. It's all just, yeah, okay, we all agree. No, I want to be with people who are different than me. I want to be around people who are different than me. And my dad showed that kind of kindness. My grandfathers. One of my grandfathers was one of the most generous men on the planet. I mean, he just always generosity was his thing. I mean, he not only gave money, he gave his time. He was just a generous guy. That was him. And I remember learning generosity from him. And you hear me talk about generosity in this place. That was the man who initially got my attention as to what generosity looks like, how it's modeled. It was him. My other grandfather loved to serve people. He loved to serve people. In fact, right before he passed away, we had already built this building. And I got to sit down with him, one of the last conversations I had. Well, it was the last conversation I had with him. He was sitting at the kitchen table, a man of God. He looks at me, has tears in his eyes, and he said, you know, the only thing I regret is that I couldn't help you build the building that your people are in right now. He's a construction guy. He's a builder. And he wanted to serve. He loved to serve others. That was his reflection of Jesus Christ. You see, we can look around and we can look at our biological fathers, we can look at our spiritual fathers, but there is a place that we can learn. There is a place that we're influenced by the hearts of fathers. See, these men in my life modeled Jesus Christ. There was no doubt. They modeled Jesus. So what lessons are we teaching our children? As they watch, as they listen to us, what lessons are they learning? James and John watched their father, and they became followers of Jesus Christ. That's pretty good stuff right there. And here's the last lesson, and that's this. A father hopes for his children. Write that down, would you? Hope is a rare commodity today, and I'm just going to say fathers hope for their children, even when they can't or don't hope for themselves. You see, there are a lot of kids out there, young people out there that are having a difficult time hoping for themselves. And I think it is the target or the burden or the joy, if you want to call it the joy of fathers, to hope for those that don't hope for themselves. That we would bring hope in Jesus Christ. I think that's what Proverbs 22:6 says. It says this, it says, start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Dad, you are equipped, uniquely equipped, to see things in your children that they don't see in themselves. And that you can call that out. You can prophetically speak to it. You can encourage whatever it is that God has put in their heart. And that you can develop that. You can train that. That's really one of the great responsibilities of a dad. Just watching my three kids grow up and now my grandkids, I'm always looking for indicators as to their gifting and how do they lean and which way do they go and what's their temperament. And then put them in situations where that gets to be tested and challenged and sharpened. You know what I'm saying? See, one of the greatest gifts that I can give those that follow me, including my kids, is I give them opportunity. I want to just create opportunity that I invite them. That's what Jesus did. He said, come follow me. What's he saying? I'm inviting you into an opportunity to understand me and explore the kingdom of God. See, I want to pass on opportunity to my kids. Say, hey, here's an opportunity. I'm creating this for you so that you can grow in this particular area. One of my sons happened to be just like almost a prodigy as an artist. And we found that out when he was about 12 years old. He was conflicted because he loved football, he loved rugby, he loved all these things. Tough guy. In fact, he's an excavator today, so he's a tough guy. But beautiful artwork. We never saw it. He would paint and stick it in the closet. We didn't even know that he was an artist. Until one day his eighth grade teacher calls us in and says, you got to see this picture. And I went in and I looked at this picture and it was a rendition of Van Gogh the Farmer. And I'm looking at it. Here's a dad, you know, looking at it going, what was this, paint by numbers? You know, I mean, what was that? And he said, no, Ryan painted this. He freehanded this. And I went, oh. And he just looked at us and he said, create every opportunity you can for him to grow with that skill. And we continue to do that. See, know your kids, know those that are around you, so you can create opportunities that are appropriate for them to grow in. That's a great gift that fathers can give. They can train up their children. Fathers, you have been, again, uniquely gifted to see what God sees in your children. If you remember anything, please remember that, dads. You have been gifted. You have been blessed to see what God sees in your children. Why? Because you're both fathers. You have a Father in heaven and a Father on earth. You're the Father on earth. See, pray to our Father in heaven. That's what we're instructed to do. Pray to our Father in heaven about being a Father on earth. Dads, there are some ways I think that you can nurture, you can cultivate hope in your children. Let me give you just a few of those things right now. I think number one is know and guard their vulnerabilities. I mean, you really have to pay attention as a father to really see their vulnerabilities. Don't exploit them. Don't shame them. Don't call them out on that altogether. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to know them and I'm going to guard that. I'm going to nurture that. That really is protecting them. That's what it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. I love this, and we're going to keep repeating this, especially in the days to come. It's Nehemiah say, after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them, the enemy is speaking of. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and your homes. Dad, write that one down. Carry that one with you. Nehemiah 4:14. The day of Nehemiah, they were vulnerable. The walls were torn down. They were exposed to things that the enemy wanted to bring their way. And Nehemiah stands up and says, don't be afraid. Fathers really stand up and defend your children and your families. And then there's another way that you can cultivate and you can nurture, and that is focus on and help develop their strengths. That's about leadership. Know their strengths and help them grow in those strengths so they can have spiritual muscles and emotional muscles. That's how we do it. And then another way is to teach them the value of serving others. This is becoming a lost art, by the way. It's something that we need to keep emulating. We need to keep talking about. We need to keep bringing our kids with us in places that we serve. Fathers and mothers, look for those kind of opportunities. I see so many of you do that around here and in community, that when you go out to serve, man, you bring your kids with you. Even if they don't want to go, it's good. They go. Because teaching them and modeling serving others is huge in the kingdom of God. It's huge to the health of community. A few Thursdays ago, I went out to Night Strike. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's under the bridge. It's called Night Strike, and they serve the underserved. And you kind of sign up for jobs, you know, to do when you get there. And I signed up. Annette said, this would be perfect for you. This is what you got to do. And so I signed up to be the monitor for the haircut line. It's me. That was me. I was the monitor. Boy, I felt so empowered, boy, I'll tell you. I had a clipboard. But you know what I got to do? I got to make some good friends. I met good friends, good people that are just underserved. And not only that, I got to write their names down and talk to them and hear their story and what was up in their life. And that's what you do when you wait to get your haircut. And the reason I'm saying that is because I want my kids to be influenced that way. I want our church to be influenced that way. There might be things that you do that you don't tell anyone else. That's good. There are things that I want to do, and I serve, but I don't want people. I want to just do it because I know this is what God has asked me to do, what He's called me to do. So remember this. Remember, there's some things, fathers, that you can be reminded of. Number one, would you always remember that God is in charge? The Father in heaven is in charge. Sometimes I get the roles mixed up. You know, as a father, I'm thinking, well, I got to take care of this, and I got to make sure this happens, and I got to see this. Yeah, there are things that I need to do, but I ultimately have to understand and really submit to the fact that God's in charge. The second thing that I want our fathers to be reminded of is, fathers, you have influence. Can I say this? You have influence even if it's not with your words. You have influence with your presence. Dads, when you just show up, you know, you change the atmosphere of a room. You've seen it in your kids. You've seen that happen. And that would be home all day with the kids, and a couple of them would get in trouble, and things would be happening around the house. And right when I opened the door, everything just got really like, Dad's here. My presence affected the lives of my children. It affected the culture and atmosphere of my home by just showing up and being present. And I want to say this, dads, just be present. This is the lesson I really needed to learn, and still I'm learning when I'm with my kids and grandkids. I just need to be present. And that my presence makes a huge difference. Warren Farrell is a psychologist, and he studies culture's effect on genders, men and women, boys and girls. He wrote an article about 6 months ago that just caught my attention. I mean, really captivated me, and I'm still absorbing, and it's titled, Boy Crisis Threatens America's Future with Economic, Health, and Suicide Risks. And It just breaks my heart. He says there is a crisis of physical health. There's a crisis of shame. There's a crisis of economic health. And I say this not at the exclusion of girls or women. That's not to be even compared. What we're saying is there is a crisis here. He said this, I discovered that the boy crisis resides where dads do not reside. According to a study in the Journal of Marriage and Family, every 1% increase of fatherlessness in a neighborhood predicts a 3% increase of adolescent violence. It's exponential. And I don't say this to condemn anyone. I just say this to say these are the facts, and it indicates the influence that our dads and grandfathers have in community. Dads, when you show up, it makes a huge, huge difference in the lives of our children, our immediate family, and in the lives of those in community. And then the last thing is this. Remember that children have a God-given future. Help guide them to that. Help encourage them in God's Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through sharing your life with them. Make sure you remember children have a God-given future. They're not too young to hear that spoken to them. Just continue. Just pressing it in and saying, you have a God-given future. You're marked by God. I remember it was those men in my life, my grandfathers, which I've mentioned, my dad, and other men who came along, and they saw some things in me that I did not see in myself. They just said, you've got a God-given future. I had a rough time first through fourth grade. I did. I'm not a great student still. I'm not a great student. Should make some of you guys feel really good. But I'm not. And I remember my first 4 years in school was like, I don't want to go to school anymore. I want to drop out in fourth grade. There you go. I just the way I felt. I was told I couldn't read. I was told I was a loser. I was told all those kinds of things in the classroom. And then something changed. I got into fifth grade, and Mr. Esau, he saw me, and he pulled me aside. And I thought, I'm in trouble again. And he pulled me aside, and he said, I need you to help me lead this class. What? You know who you're talking to, right? The troublemaker, the kid that gets sent outside all the time, doesn't do well in his studies. He says, I need you to help me lead that class. My grades went from D's to A's. My ability and self-confidence just grew like crazy because of one phrase a man spoke to me in fifth grade that I still remember today. Men, fathers, we need you. You have the ability to share God's heart with this generation. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Just as we close our heads, bowed, eyes closed. Hey, dads, granddads, just lift your hands. I'm not going to call you. I'm just going to pray for you. That's all I want you to lift your hands for. Yeah. Yeah, just put them up. I'm kind of extending my hand your way too, and I just want to do that. Father, I just pray right now for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to rest on our fathers and grandfathers in Jesus' name. Lord, let us be a model, an example of Jesus in a community. And let us love our kids. Let us love our biological kids and grandkids. But also, Lord, let us be spiritual fathers to a lost community, a lost generation. Just show us the way. You uniquely use us to bring stability, to bring health and wholeness in community. We pray in Jesus' name that you continue to work in our lives. I speak against the enemy, Satan, that would bring doubt to our hearts and our minds about our involvement, our participation, our value, our worth. In Jesus' name, let us be encouraged by the power of your Holy Spirit in this place. And we say together, amen. Amen. Would you go ahead and stand up with me? It's good to have you today. Really is. Listen, next week Annette is going to be sharing on motherhood and grandmotherhood. So next week it'll be good. You want to hear it. I think she's the best grandma on the planet.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.